Hello, and welcome to GoGo Radio, found exclusively on gogotraining.com. My name is Mike Simpson, and in this show, we're going to discuss databases in Android. I've done development work and training for over 25 years, and I've worked extensively with Android for the past 5 years. To learn more about me and my background, be sure to check out my GoGo profile. If you have any questions that you'd like to ask me, please use the question comment box below. All right, let's get started. Android uses a SQL format database called SQLite to store and retrieve most of its information. Information such as the contacts database, the phone database, email database, and things like that is stored in a SQL format database, and we call that SQLite. There are various classes available that allow us to manipulate information in that SQL format database. And most of the different types of content that you want to manipulate on Android systems will be accessed using SQLite. So all the different categories that you want to deal with in manipulating SQLite, you basically deal with standardized SQL queries. So you deal with inserts and updates and deletes and all that sort of stuff. However, in most cases, we don't directly write a whole lot of SQL itself. Rather, we encapsulate that SQL in a series of Java classes. And we gained access to those classes by going through the SQLite Open Helper class. And the nice thing about that class is that we can basically take that class and use calls to Java-based methods that look like insert and update and delete calls. And those calls basically cover for us and take care of doing all the insert and update and delete actual SQL calls. Now, the baseline class that we start out with is simply SQLite. And so when we back up and look at the SQLite class, we start out by calling upon a behavior called getWritableDatabase. And that's the first thing we do. And by going through SQLite Open Helper, the SQLite Open Helper behavior starts by calling getWritableDatabase to get a readable and writable database. Now, most of the time you want to do that. Sometimes you just want to get a readable-only database, in which case you just call getReadableDatabase. And then you just go ahead and call insert or call update or call delete, and that's pretty much it. Now, if you want to select information from that database, then you call query. And then you have a bunch of cursors. And then your cursor is basically just a pointer into the data, and you just retrieve that data and just iterate over it. Now, if you've worked with Java and databases before, then you are familiar with the fact that when you retrieve your cursor-based information, each cursor points to a row of data, and then you have a series of get behaviors like get long and get int and get float and all that sort of stuff, and you get the behavior out of your particular columns of data. Well, it's the same type of situation here, because again, this is sort of a stripped down version of SQL, because you got a very small machine here. So it's all that same sort of stuff. Now, as far as moving around in your database, you have a move to next, you have move to last, you have move to first, you have all of those different types of helper methods with which you're probably familiar. And then there's an is after last method just to make sure you haven't moved off the end of the cursor. But those are also, again, pretty straightforward. So there's really not much new under the sun there. One thing that you will want to keep in mind, though, is that when you insert a record into the database, if there's a problem with inserting a record, you'll get an SQL exception. So in general, when you want to do an insert, instead of just calling plain old insert, you probably want to call insert or throw, because you want to have a SQL exception being thrown that you would want your code to catch. Just calling insert, you won't get back your SQL exception. But if you call insert or throw, you will get your SQL exception. So that way you can keep an eye on that. One thing that you'll also want to know is that when you do an insert, rather than having to literally write out all of the insert items, what you do is you create an object called a content values object. And a content values object is essentially kind of an infinitely long set of key and value pairs. So you just do a content values dot add, and then you add a key value pair, and then you add another key value pair, and then you add another key value pair, and you just keep going until you added as many key value pairs as needed, where the key is the column name and the value is the value to be added. And then you do a database.insert, and you insert into your table, and then you insert the values, and then if you, for some reason, screw up, and you add a completely empty content values, hopefully that'll never happen, but in case you do. Then the second argument to your insert statement is a column that in your database will be completely nulled out if you add an empty value by mistake. So it's kind of a reminder to you to say, oops, I put in an empty column. So inserting a value into the database is pretty straightforward. Then when you do a database.delete, then you delete the value. So db.delete is nothing really new. And then database.update, when you update the value, you also can pass it a set of content values to update. And you can also pass the update a where clause. So you can update a set of values and then specify where you're updating it to. So writing the SQL updates and converting the SQL updates into Android updates is very simple and very straightforward. Converting the SQL deletes into Android deletes also is very straightforward. There's a database.delete call as well. The important things to keep in mind when working with our Android databases are that practicing with a small database on your own and getting comfortable with working with the Android insert, update, and delete items becomes important when you realize that most of the different data stores, such as the contacts database, the calendaring database, things like that, they store their information as SQLite databases. So you need to become comfortable with working with this sort of stuff if you plan on adding information to the standard types of content that are stored on Android, because it's going to be using exactly the same format. So you need to get comfortable there. And you need to make sure that each time you're calling upon one of these data sources, you need to make sure that you call upon get writable database and get readable database before you do that. And the reason to make sure that you do that is that your databases are going to be potentially accessible by multiple applications. So for instance, your contacts database is going to be dealt with, and your email database can be dealt with. So let's say that you are going to be looking at somebody in your contacts database, and then you click on it, and then you want to send an email to somebody. So you don't think about it. You click on somebody, and then you go to email them. Well, the contacts database is running in one Java virtual machine, and then it goes over to somebody else, and that's another Java virtual machine. So they're two basically completely separate environments. So since they're in two completely separate environments, it's possible, at least theoretically, for one thread to be accessing that database and then passing that information, and has to pass it across the Java virtual machine barrier so that another process can access it. And since that information has to be passed back and forth, we want to make sure that the data isn't being changed by one thread or one process, call it process A, while another thread or process, call it process B, is dealing with it. So each time you call get writable database or get readable database, we make sure that we get a temporarily cached or locked copy of the database so that it's not being changed while we're accessing it. So in short, SQLite database provides a usable subset of SQL that allows us to perform inserts and updates and deletes, and the SQLite Open Helper class provides us a means of encapsulating our SQL calls in a Java class so that we can manipulate our SQL databases using Java calls. I hope that you have enjoyed today's presentation. If you have any questions or comments, please use the question and comment box. And if you're interested in viewing my other shows, just search the GoGo Radio Archive for my name, Mike Simpson. And if there's a show that you would like for me to do, then you can let me know by using my question and comment box. Thank you for your time today, and remember to tune into GoGo Radio. It's found exclusively on gogotraining.com.